Welcome to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Jason Smith.
And I'm Catherine Loper. We speak to a researcher and professor of biogerontology at the Buck Institute for Research on Aging. Her research into cellular senescence shows how certain cells, helpful in youth, pose problems later in life.
Dr. Judith Campisi joins us to explore how a new class of drugs could slow or even moderately reverse human aging. She spoke with our producer, Leah Landry.
We want to talk today about senolytic drugs, but we kind of have to back up a bit to do that. Could you describe the process of cellular senescence?
Yes. Cellular senescence is a decision that cells make to change their function. And they do it under two distinct circumstances. The first is when they're stressed. And as you know, aging involves a lot of stresses, so it's very common for cells that experience age-related stresses to enter this state of cellular senescence. But there's another circumstance under which cells can enter senescence, and that has to do with a few physiological signals that are beneficial to the organism. So I think we'd all agree aging is not beneficial, but certainly there are some physiological signals that are beneficial, and they're initiated by a wave of senescent cells. So those physiological signals are certain structures in an embryo are initiated by a wave of senescent cells. Labor, delivering a baby, is initiated by a wave of senescent cells in the placenta. And wound healing and tissue repair. And the reason why it's important to understand that there's the good side and the bad side is because it's very important in understanding aging to understand the evolutionary context in which what we recognize as aging has evolved. And so nothing that happens in biology happens for the purpose of driving aging, but rather they happen for the purpose of promoting fitness in a young organism. And then sometimes those same processes that were good for you when you were young can become deleterious when you're old. And cellular senescence is one example of such a process.
Is there some turning point, or maybe you could call it a peak, where these senescent cells become problematic?
It's difficult to say. We have a few, actually we have several, biomarkers that allow us to go into tissues, and this has been done extensively in mice, and a fair amount of human tissues as well, in order to determine when and where senescent cells appear. They certainly increase with age, but it's not as though there's a magic age at which suddenly senescent cells begin to accumulate. It seems to be a gradual accumulation. It seems to accelerate a bit somewhere around the middle of our lifespan, so around a year and a half for a mouse and around 50 or 60 years of age for a human. But nonetheless, throughout the lifespan, there's a slow accumulation of these cells. They're never a majority of the cells. But we now know from the mouse models and from experiments in human tissue that they can be deleterious. They can drive and cause those diseases and manifestations of aging that we recognize as being undesirable.
So what do these senolytic drugs do?
Senolytic drugs refer to a brand new class of drugs that selectively cause senescent cells to die. So they're based on the gene expression pattern of senescent cells, which makes them vulnerable to certain tweaking of certain proteins. And these drugs are designed to tweak those proteins in a way that most normal cells are unaffected, and senescent cells are affected, and therefore they undergo cell death. When that happens in the body, then neighboring cells will gobble up those dead cells and actually derive nutrients from those dead cells. And that will eliminate the problem. I should also point out the reason why we think senescent cells can cause very different types of pathology and deleterious effects is because each senescent cell secretes a whole slew of molecules that can have profound effects on neighboring cells. So one senescent cell can affect many cells that are nearby. And by eliminating those cells, you alleviate that influence of senescent cells, which is a lot of times it is deleterious. As I said, not always. There are some areas where they're beneficial, especially when you're young. But for the most part, when they accumulate with age, they can be deleterious. And these senolytic drugs are designed to eliminate those cells.
Are there any clinical trials underway at this point of senolytic drugs and therapies?
There are. The very first trial is being conducted by a company called Unity Biotechnology, and by way of disclosure, I'm a founder of this company. And as you may know, or your listeners may know, when you're testing a new drug, the FDA requires certain stages of testing, and the first stage is just a safety stage. So the first senolytics are now in clinical trials, and they're being tested in this phase one trial to show that they're safe. The next step will be to show that they can actually be beneficial.
I was reading an article that you were quoted in earlier this year in MIT Technology Review. You said that senescence is like an evolutionary balancing act. Is there any harm that we know of in using senolytic drugs to sort of rebalance that scale?
So far, no, but these are early days. We're all very cautious about this. The drugs have been tested extensively in non-human animals, so rodents and other species. There have been no deleterious effects so far, except, of course, if you are immediately wounded, you do not want to take a senolytic drug. I predict you would not want to take a senolytic drug if you were pregnant, and certainly not before labor. So I think we're cautiously optimistic that we understand when we have to be cautious using these drugs. But as I said, it's early days, but it's pretty exciting. In the mouse, there's a huge growing number of diseases, age-related diseases, that these drugs seem to be beneficial. And there doesn't seem to be any side effects for the mouse.
It seems that the goal of all of this is not necessarily to not die, that's going to happen to all of us, but to die healthier, or rather age better. Would you say that's correct?
Yes. The new concept in aging research is extending health span, not necessarily lifespan. And in fact, the mouse models in which we can use the transgene to eliminate senescent cells have been studied throughout their lifespan. This was done by our colleagues at the Mayo Clinic. And what they've shown is a remarkable increase in the health of the mice, but not an increase in their maximum lifespan. So the mice still pretty much died on schedule, but ironically, they died healthier. And they maintained their vigor and their health longer into life. So that's probably the reasonable goal right now, is extending health span.
A recent guest of ours said that evolution gave us a great healthcare system until we're about 40. And at that point, our actual healthcare system helps us and sometimes does a very good job at doing that. But that the next step is essentially extending our healthy lifespan. Do you see your work as part of this next step in healthcare?
Yes, exactly. And your guest is absolutely correct. Everything that happens in our body was under evolutionary pressure. And of course, what evolution really tries to do is maximize reproduction for making the next generation. And of course, for the vast majority of our evolutionary history, there was no aging. People died of natural causes. And so there was no time for evolution to act on those aging phenotypes and pathologies.
Thanks so much for being with us, Judy. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.